Father, again this day. Father, we're grateful, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that is with your people, Father. At this time, Lord God, and in this place and in this world, Lord, that we are people called by your name. Father, we are grateful, Lord God, this morning, Father, for Jesus, the name that's above every other name, Lord God. And by that name, Lord, we are saved, Father. And Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the redemption and the mercy that we have in you. We thank you, Father, that what we do as unto you, Lord God, and we do it through the power of your Spirit that works in us, Lord God. And so, Lord, this day, Father, as we come before you as your people, as we come before you as a people called by your name, Lord, we ask and pray, Father, that your presence would be with us in a very strong way, Lord God, that you would break every yoke, Lord, every bondage, Father God. Lord, that you would continue to lead your people in the abundant life, Lord God, and in truth, Father, as your Spirit leads and guides us into it each and every day. Father, right now, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we do bind every demonic hindrance, every demonic force, every assignment of the devil, Lord God, and we cast it out. Father God, we cast our cares also upon you because you care for us, Father. And Lord, we receive your yoke because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And Father, as your people, Lord God, we are grateful, Father, for this time. And so, Lord God, as we go into it, Father, we go into it in Jesus' name, asking and praying, Lord, that you would have your way. And Father, according to that end, Lord, I completely get out of the way, acknowledging that it's only your Holy Spirit that lives in me that's good. And so to your Spirit I yield in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. I haven't seen you all for a little bit, yeah? And I have to say, I have missed you all very much. Because you miss your brothers and sisters and your family when you don't see them for a while. Now, there was a church that I had gone to in the States a long time back, and I remember this pastor getting up and saying, calling everybody his family. But he, in actuality, didn't consider them family because he saw them as a resource and something he could take something from. But it sounds nice, yeah? But the truth is, with the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God comes into our lives and into our hearts, there's something on a deeper level that you share and you connect with anyone else that has that Spirit in them. It's not something that you can manufacture. It's not something that you can put into a program. It's something that exists at a level that's even deeper than blood relatives. Remember when Jesus said, they came up to him and said, look, your mother and your brothers are trying to talk to you. And Jesus said, who is my mother and my brothers? Those who do the will of the Father. Now, how would you be able to do the will of the Father unless you were connected to Him in the realm of Spirit in the first place? So Spirit runs deeper than blood. And so I'm learning that lesson even very strongly, even in these days, in realizing who is my true mother, my true brothers, my true sisters, my true family, and who is others. So all of us too are works in process, which is fantastic. Thank God for that. But we're all going on a journey with Christ because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we're going somewhere with Him.
Yes.
So let's bear with each other in this journey. Let's help each other in this journey. Let's encourage each other in this journey. You know, I was reading something the other day that was sent to me, where it talked about how the birds, when they fly in the V formation, it's very cute. I liked it though. Have you seen that? When the birds fly, they fly like this in a wedge, yeah? And the reason that they do that, and the reason God gave them the wisdom to do that, is because when they do that together as a group, they're able to go 71% further than they would if they were by themselves. And so then the one that's at the front, he'll do a lot of the work, but the ones that are behind will benefit from that. But then when he gets tired, he moves to the back, another one moves up. And the geese that are there as well that are following, when you hear them honking or the honk honk, they're encouraging the one that's ahead of them to keep going, to keep going. And if one gets injured or sick and has to go down, two others go with it to help protect it and keep it. And those two will stay with the one that's sick until it either recovers or if it dies. And then it'll go on and it'll catch up with the group by joining another group. The reason I say this is because Jesus said, consider the birds. There's so many lessons that God has put in nature for what He intended and expected even of His people. And when we see what a world becomes when it's become disconnected from God, we see a very sad and a very pathetic situation for mankind. But the people of God were a different kind of people. We don't apologize for that. We don't make excuses for that. We're kingdom people. We're under the dominion of the King of Kings. And we follow His leading and His guiding each and every day, and we encourage one another to do the same. Okay, that's my nice little quasi-introduction. Luke chapter 12. I'm going to go in chunks and then we'll do it a little different today. Okay. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after have no more that they can do. But I shall forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, well, actually, let's just do this verse 7, verse for now. Okay. A lot of people coming together to be around Jesus. It says there's so many people that they were starting to walk all over each other. So they were like this, and they were walking on each other's toes and feet, sorry. Like one massive CTB bus, everybody. But everybody was packing in and packing together to come hear something, to come be around Jesus, yeah? Now people came to be around Jesus for different reasons. People had different motives and different intentions. Not everybody that was around Jesus was a brother and a sister in Christ and loving the Lord and seeking His will and His way. In fact, Jesus being the sower, sowing the word, all kinds of ground was in front of Him. You remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? Actually, it was 5,000 men. If you go by today's, the way that they count in most of these crusades and stuff, most of them married, so 5,000 women, and then three to four children, because no family planning, and so 50,000, you know, but Jesus fed everybody. So 5,000 men plus. So Jesus fed everybody. And the next day when they were looking for Him, and they said, oh, Jesus, when did you get here? When they were looking for Jesus the next day, and they said, oh, when did you get here? And they were grabbing. He told them, look, you're not looking for me because of the word. You're looking for me because I gave you something to eat, and you're looking for me as a meal ticket. And even then, they're trying to trick Jesus. They're trying to get Jesus to give them manna from heaven so they had some daily supply going. So all kinds of people gathering around Jesus. A lot of people needing to be healed. Because there was healing power that continued to come out of Jesus. And a lot of people suffering from infirmities from living in this world were just looking for some relief. And then you do have people in there that, you know what, they really, really want the truth. But you know, there weren't that many of them in actuality. Because even the time when Jesus gave the teaching where he said, look, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, right? And what happened? Everybody left him, but who was left? Who was left after that? Who stuck around? The 12. The 12 were left. The disciples. Yeah. And what was the reason that they stayed? They said, where else will we go? You have the words of eternal life. So they weren't there to get a meal. They weren't there to get healed. They weren't there to get God to bless their business. They weren't there to have somebody divide an inheritance with them and to get Jesus to validate something. When the tough word came, and when something came that was difficult, they were there because he had the words of eternal life. They were there because in their heart they wanted truth. Now Jesus continued to give truth throughout. He is truth. So you won't get anything but truth from Jesus. So if you seek the real Jesus, you will only get truth. Now truth is not an easy thing for most people to deal with. Think about it. If the truth was that you've just wasted 25 years of your life doing something that was absolutely meaningless, is that an easy thing to understand? If the truth is that because of choices that you made 15 years ago when God told you not to do something and you did it and now you're suffering consequences today for that, is that an easy thing to swallow? If the truth is that there's certain things that God would have and would require of us for us to line up with what He intends, and that requires you making a break with some stuff that maybe He doesn't want for you. Is that an easy thing? No, but what truth does, and what truth in the heart of the believer does, is you say, you know what, I want the light, I want the truth, no matter what, I will choose to come into this regardless of the cost and the consequence to me. Keep your finger in Luke 12. I want to show you. Go to John 3. And verse 19. And it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So again, John 14:6, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He's also the light that came into the world. And what? Sorry. So Jesus is the truth that's come into the world, and what happens is that truth exposes, it reveals.
And what
happened with so many people was that when they saw that the benefit that they could get out of Jesus was less than what they had to deal with the truth that they had to endure to be around Him, most of them at that point said, forget this. So they said, look, another meal is not worth me having to hear this. Now what happened since the resurrection of Christ and 2,000 years of history of the church in the world is there's a lot of people that took the name of Jesus and the character of Jesus and used it. Because that truth is not a popular thing. When you see Jesus' life, at the end of it, who was around when He was on the cross? There were some, but not many. In fact, even further on in Luke chapter 12, it talks about little flock. Will always be a little flock.
And
that's verse 32. So, but we'll always be a little flock because those that love the truth are not that many really. But what has happened in the world is that people have taken Jesus, the name and the character and the person of Him, and made a new Jesus, fashioned in their own image, that now is palatable, is people can handle this Jesus. This Jesus is all about love and light. It's a purpose-driven Jesus. Okay, Jesus, people, you know, one time God was talking to me about all this stuff, and I know it's probably not popular when I say this, but He says, man drives cattle, I lead sheep. So, the thing about driving is somebody's behind you with a whip, whoosh, whoosh, go, go. Have you seen the guys with the water buffaloes? They're water buffaloes, so they're behind them with the whip. They're driving, driving, go. Again, another lesson from nature. Jesus, when He characterized His people, He's a shepherd that leads from the front. They follow the voice of the Spirit. He's not driving anybody from the back.
Yeah, it's the right.
And if they don't recognize the voice of His Spirit, if they don't have a love in their heart for the truth, when another voice shows up over there, they will go to that voice. But see, I'm very, very grateful for the time that we're living in the world right now. Because in difficult times, in adverse times, in times when the world is in turmoil and uprooted, that's when you find out where is your foundation. If you live your entire life in this world in comfort and in ease and believing a lie and then you die, what good was that? Isn't it good to know if the Jesus you're serving right now is the real one? Or here's another question along the same lines. If what you were believing and had believed was false, would you want to know? There's a lot of people that would rather not know and would also rather keep other people from knowing. There's an entire piece of legislation in this country devoted to that. The whole unethical conversion thing. Which is absolutely insane. Because it's an insane idea, insane bill. Insane. Fissu. Because first of all, let's just start talking a little bit of sense here. If there's an unethical conversion, that implies there's an ethical conversion, yes? And the bill got stuck because they couldn't define religion, right? In a country full primarily of Buddhists, where Buddhism is a philosophy and not a religion. So absolute insanity by the world again. But ultimately the goal is saying it's illegal for you to go to heaven. Now we are not converting anybody. All we are doing is we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God and we share whatever the king gives us to share with whoever. And God Himself regenerates whoever He wants, wherever He wants. He chooses, He knows those that are His, He draws unto Himself as He pleases. And because we have an overflow, an abundant supply that comes from Him, we're happy to pray for people. We're happy to share. We're nice people. No, but God has put something in our heart to share and to also show, look, there's another way. Okay, because there's a way that seems right to people but is leading to death, and death now on a mass scale around the world in the very near future. Yeah, massive death around the world.
Mm-hmm.
If the hand of God doesn't hold some things back at this point, you will in the next years see an incredible number of people die all over the world. The whole economy crisis, that's not even any of the judgments of God or any of the things being poured out yet on the world. That's just man's system failing. All that is man's own house that he built on the sea, that little sandcastle he built on the sea, is just falling apart. That's all it is. And already there are people that are committing suicide and jumping out of buildings just from that. Scriptures say that when men's hearts will fail them when they see the things coming upon the earth in the days to come, not yet what's happened. I had an interesting experience last Friday. I was in the top of one of these buildings when the plane came down. It was came down in the building that was just over here. The Inland Revenue Building was here. I was on top of one over on the other side. There were all these people in the room that was there. And all of a sudden, everyone, you know how people, they go to some event or something and they have their social graces and they're they want to be perceived a certain way. But when all of a sudden these aircraft bullets are going up in the air and then you see a plane go and then this building's burning over here and the hotel shuts the lights off and all the elevators go downstairs, so people are stuck. Very, very, very quickly you find out who knows Jesus and who doesn't. You find out very quickly who is ready to meet their Maker at this very moment in time and who is willing to kill even a small child if it can give them another 5 minutes of life. And there's a whole range of people in there. There's some people that would do anything to spare themselves at the cost of anybody else. And then there's others whose hearts and lives are built on the foundation, which is Christ Jesus, and every moment we are ready to leave this world. See, that is when it becomes real. See, all of the sermons, all of the services people have gone to, all of the things that they've done. Okay, now let's see. Now let's see. Let's see if your heart fails you in the days ahead, or is your heart rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus? Let's see if you've learned to trust God for provision when everything else is not there. What if we try to move that in a Let's see if you've learned the still small voice of God, if you've learned to listen and to follow and to obey and how to walk in the Spirit. And if not, praise God, you have a little bit of time right now. Not much, but you have a little bit of time to align yourself with the Spirit of God. I remember on Friday after that whole experience, there was a lot of people that came and talked to me, and they were just like, you know, I've never been so scared in all of my life. This is the things they were telling me. And they're like, you know, I've never really thought about life and death and all that, but just realizing, boy, I could have died there. People asking these questions and having an opportunity to share the truth about Christ Jesus, the real reality of what life really is. See, in what's happening now in the world, there'll be more and more and more chances for you to share the hope and the life that you have in Christ with other people. But we do that as the Spirit of God leads us into that. Because it's a very precious thing. Jesus calls it pearls. We don't throw them before pigs. So there's a value that's in it. Because truth is rare. Okay, here. Verse 2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Okay. Sorry, go. Verse 2. Okay, so life in this world is temporary. All of us know that. We pass through this world for a season of time. And everything that you are inside, the real you inside, not the external shell, but the real you, will be manifest for all eternity. So when Jesus talked to the Pharisees, he called them whitewashed sepulchres. So basically saying, look, outside you look nice, but inside you're rotten and full of death. And Jesus also about them said, look, you cross land and sea to make one convert, and then after you make one, you make him twice the son of hell that you are. Jesus told them that you go out to all this effort to try to get a convert, to convert somebody. And he said that these ones, that the Pharisees themselves were sons of hell, and they're making these other people even twice as much. So basically, that though outside a certain image was kept, inside this is a son of hell, full of death, and that's what he is for all eternity. Now, when this body is finished, when this body is done, the spirit and the soul that you have inside of you continues to live on. And if that spirit and soul has not been made alive in Christ Jesus and washed by the blood of Christ, you are in a similar situation, in a similar state. So it takes Christ Jesus coming into someone's heart for the spirit to be quickened and made alive. And it takes Jesus washing somebody clean and making a new creation out of that person. But wherever you are, when you pass from this life into the next, that is the eternal you. So nothing in this life will be hidden. The real you will be known for all eternity. So along those lines, know that nobody gets away with anything. No one in this life and no one in this world gets away with anything. Everything will be brought to an account by the Spirit of God. Back to verse 4. And I say unto you, my brethren, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which hath the power, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Now this is important in this day because there will be a lot of people that will be afraid to die. And because of their fear of death, of the body which dies anyways, but because of their fear of death, they will turn their back on the living God and exchange it for another day in this world. But for those that know and trust the truth of the Word of God, we know for ourselves that, hey, we don't fear any person in this world. Nor do we fear death. And we know that the one that we serve, the king that we serve, he knows to take care of us. See, when we come into Christ Jesus, when we are made alive in Christ, the whole whole thing about even baptism is the old you died and there's a new creation that came back in Christ Jesus. That's the new you. So the life now that we live in this world is the life that Christ Jesus would live through us here. And so that new life that's lived here is about Him. Now if you can continue to go in that life listening to the voice of the Spirit, doing what He shows you to do, you also get a benefit that the world can never ever even dream of offering. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So you get to experience an abundant life and an amazing adventure with the Spirit of God while you're here in the world. Time goes so fast when we get together like this. But I had a lot more I wanted to get into this morning. But the point being for us that we know our Creator. We know our King. We know the one whom we serve. And He has a work for us in the world. You see, there's a reason and a purpose that all of us are still here. If you and I had finished the reason that God had for us to be here, we would have left a while ago. So God has sustained and God has protected and God has kept us to this day. He's so good. There's so many things that He takes care of for us that you and I do not realize at all, but He takes care of it every day, every moment. Even this morning, I was on the way, had to make a stop and then I was coming here. Now there was a big group of guys that was right here, and I'm about to go green light. I'm going traveling long time green light. I'm just driving through. Pack of people here. I'm coming from this side. This guy's looking over this way. And walking straight out in front, right in front of my truck. So I hit the brakes, stop this close to him. And he's got that look like, you know, the dogs get when, you know, it's like... But also... No, he does, not me. I'm driving the truck. But just in that situation alone, with everything else going on, I see God's protection for me and for somebody else that's around me.
You think
I'm very grateful that I didn't hit a very careless person today. And think about it. You're sitting here. Your lungs work. Your heart works. Your spleen works. You can move your fingers. Your eyes, you can blink, you can see. How much of that did you have anything to do with? So God is taking care of and sustaining and keeping and allowing for you to continue to remain in this reality right now. So there's reason and purpose for us being here. So praise God that you have had another day to walk with Him in this world. Thank God that He saved you and saved me and gave us light and truth before, and we're walking in that light now. And look forward to what's coming up. You know, when the plagues came on Egypt, what was a time of incredible destruction for the world at that time, was also an amazing, miraculous time of deliverance and the power of God for the people of God. And you and I will see the hand of God moving on behalf of His people time and time and time again. We've seen it in this place over the last 27 years. But now more than ever, you will see more and more God's hand moving on behalf of His people. So let's praise and thank God that you are part of the kingdom. And enjoy the adventure that you have in Him, knowing that He is taking care of all things. We are His and He is ours. And thank God for Jesus. And we will stop there for today. Time is up. You are my soul.